Turning our attention now to Macintosh computers and iBooks and iPhones and all kinds of iPads, all kinds of things, Mac. And they run pretty well for the most part, but sometimes they don't run as well as we'd like, and sometimes they just don't run well at all. And Joe Rhodes, our guest today, independent computer support specialist in Madison. He's at Joe. You can find him at Joe Rhodes, RHODES.com. That's his Facebook link. I think we have that up. Yes, we do. We have it up on my Facebook page. If you want to get in touch with him, that's probably the easiest way, is just to go to the Larry Mueller Show and you can click on the link. Joe, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Larry.
Tell you what, we had some recent big news with Steve Jobs stepping down as CEO of Apple. He'll stay as chair of the board, I believe.
Right.
But there's a lot of speculation on what that means for the company. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, it is a big deal, and it's interesting when you read all of the news about this and the echo chamber of the internet, how that works. You know, for those that don't know, Steve Jobs is one of the two guys that founded the company. And then he left, and the company went on some pretty dark times, and then he came back, and a lot of people credit him with really turning the company around. He introduced the first iMac and then a whole string of successes after that. Steve Jobs, when you kind of study him, he's a unique figure. He's got this very dictatorial style. He rules Apple with an iron fist. And sometimes when you have a giant corporation, you need somebody to keep everybody focused. So what is this going to mean for Apple? Boy, I don't know. In the short term, I don't think it's going to have any effect whatsoever. I think they've got a bunch of great products in the pipeline. I think Steve has lined up some really incredible people, some very intelligent, talented people. I think we're going to see things, you know, pumping out of Apple for a long time that are going to be really great. What happens 5 years from now? You know, who can say? 5 years ago, who would have guessed that Apple would be this big now? But will they be able to maintain that really tight laser focus on just doing what customers really want and what really makes a customer's life easier versus what makes an IT manager's life easier or what makes a corporation happier? I mean, they're really good about focusing on the customer and the consumer specifically and making things that we all want to use.
Yeah, just in retrospect, the fact that he was kind of dictatorial, I mean, it was good in some ways, but
there was a joke running that
a good owner would probably try to groom other people to take his place.
Well, there's a running joke for the longest time that you never wanted to get on an elevator with Steve Jobs because either you got a promotion or you got fired.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what, there are some rumors about some new product releases coming up. What are you hearing about the iPhone 5, for example?
Oh, boy. I'm kind of excited about this one because I'm holding on to an old iPhone and I'm about ready to upgrade here. There seems to be two major streams of rumors, and of course, it's all rumors. We just don't know. But there's rumor that we might get an iPhone 4 speed bump, call it an iPhone 4S, where it'll just be minor improvements. And then there's also speculation that we might get a wildly new iPhone 5 that'll be a huge step forward and have all kinds of new great things that we haven't even figured out yet. Honestly, I have no idea which we're going to get. The iPhone 4 is selling like hotcakes. It is a fantastic phone that I'd love to own it, and I'd buy one, except for the fact that I think the iPhone 5 is probably a month out or so. So I'm kind of holding tight for a little while just because all the rumors are saying early part of October we might see something new.
Okay.
So I'm going to wait till then and make my own purchase. But, you know, if you need a phone now and you really want one, the iPhone 4 is not going to make you disappointed. It certainly won't.
We have emails. By the way, if you have a question about your Mac, I hope you'll join us at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. An email from Peg in Hudson is a relatively new Mac user wondering what would cause a 1.5-year-old MacBook to slow noticeably in overall performance all of a sudden. Is there a preventive maintenance I should be doing? With Windows, a defrag and cleaning up internet files was helpful, but what needs to be done with a Mac?
Got it. And what kind of Mac did she say she had?
She has a 1.5-year-old MacBook.
MacBook. Okay. Well, there's a couple things that would make a Mac slow down. But to answer the second question first, is there a regular maintenance that you need to do on a Mac? No, not really. Make sure your software update is you know, run a little under the Apple menu where you say software update. Make sure you run all those. But couple of things that'll make a Mac slow down really noticeably. And one of them is if your disk gets really full. If you're using this to take lots of movies or pictures or things like this, I've been editing some movies on my MacBook Pro, and I'm just shocked at how big those files get. When your disk gets full, the computer slows down quite noticeably. And you can check how full this is getting by clicking on the hard drive where it shows up on your desktop, and then under the file menu say Get Info. And that'll pop open a little window that'll tell you how big the hard drive is, how much space is used, and how much space is free. The general rule of thumb is you want to have about 10% free. And if you've got less than 10% free, especially as you get really close to full, that's where the Mac will get slow in a hurry because it's constantly fighting to find room inside this hard drive. Again, the culprits that you might want to look at, if you've got a big iTunes library, maybe you've been downloading lots of TVs and shows on iTunes or movies, things like that. If you happen to have a particularly nice camera and you have a huge iPhoto library, you might have a lot of stuff there. If there's some stuff that you know, I downloaded all the stuff, I don't need it, go ahead and toss it in the trash and empty the trash, and that will clear up the space. If it's stuff that you really want to keep, then you might be looking at perhaps getting a larger hard drive. And fortunately, this is not as difficult as you might think, because there are packages you can get online. Buy a new hard drive, plug it in, copy everything over from the old hard drive to the new hard drive, physically replace them, which on a MacBook is not that hard, believe it or not. The kits will come with tools. And then you turn your Mac on and you're right where you were before, just with a whole lot more space. Last thing I will have you check is there is an applications folder in the applications folder. There's a guy there called Activity Monitor. Fire that guy up, and one of the columns will say percentage of CPU. It'll tell you how busy any particular process is. Take a look and see if anything is maybe just going crazy. Sometimes we have an application open and we don't realize it. Safari is a good one for this on occasion, where for no apparent reason it'll just start sucking up all of the CPU's resources, which will starve everything else. So you can go into Activity Monitor, you can get a handle on what's going on with your Mac and what's taking up more room than others and what's doing a lot of work that maybe doesn't need to.
Activity Monitor, and then where do you go from there?
That'll pop open a window that'll show you all the things that are running on your Mac. So you can just you can sort by name, you can sort by how busy it is, you can sort by how much memory it's using. So you can really get some fantastic diagnostic information about what your Mac is doing.
Peter in Oregon, we'll go to you now. Hi, Peter.
Hello. I got an iPad 1, 3G, the Wi-Fi, and last time I hooked it up to my home PC to sync, it told me I was supposed to upgrade my software on it.
Okay.
But the file is enormous.
Yes.
And I have my home PC is hooked up to satellite internet, and I can't even download that in a day's download allowance.
Probably, I was going to say, because satellite, if I remember correctly, has quotas on things like that.
Right. So how am I supposed to update this thing? I mean, can I can't figure out how to update it without hooking it to the computer.
Right.
I could take it itself to a Wi-Fi hotspot or something and do that, but it's telling me I basically have to do it with the computer.
Right. You need to do it with a computer. Here's what I would probably do. There's a couple ways you can do this, but first I would suggest if you have an opportunity to get into Madison, what you can do is plug your iPad into your PC and make sure that you've got a good backup of it. So it synchronizes. It's got all the stuff that's on the iPad is now on your computer. Take the iPad to an Apple store. There's one in Westtown Mall or someplace like that, or even a friend's house that has a better internet connection than what you have, and install the software update there. Then you can take the iPad back, and you should be able to restore all your data to that iPad with the updated software on it. Apple, if you go to the Apple store, they can certainly walk you through that whole process. It's kind of like if you get a new iPad, you would plug your new iPad into your PC and it would move all of your existing music and apps and all that stuff onto the new iPad. So it's kind of that same process. You'll be wiping out the iPad, but because you have a backup on your personal computer, it won't be a problem.
Oh, but there's a whole lot of even apps that I haven't put onto the PC because they took too long to download.
Got it. Now, having said that, there is a way to download the iPad software itself as a separate downloader. It's a little tricky because Apple doesn't make it really easy. If you Google for instructions on this, you'll be able to find that. And then you could conceivably go to, say, a library or a friend's house or something like that, download that massive file. Probably if you're going to a friend's house, make sure you bring them a beer to thank them. And then you can take that on a flash drive, take it back home. and then you can double-click on it on the PC at home, and it should go into iTunes and then let you install it that way as well. But that's not the most straightforward way of doing it.
No.
Okay. All right. All right, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And Ruth in Lake Bluff, Illinois, we're on to you now. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, I'm 74 years old. I have a PC now. I've been to the Apple store. It looks a little confusing, but I've been very confident that I could do my job right on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
Usually uses email and Word and web search and Skype now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And I play a couple of little free cell games, but I don't have big music downloads or
sure.
any of the fancy stuff. Can you give me an honest, straightforward, non-Apple answer, which would be better for me?
Well, here's my suggestions, and I will preface this with saying, because I'm an Apple guy, I'm skewed in one direction, so take my opinion with that in mind.
I wouldn't have called you otherwise.
It has been my impression, having worked on both PCs and Macs, that Macs tend to be more consistent and a little more trouble-free. By more consistent, I mean Apple, because they control the whole ecosystem. They make sure that once you learn a certain thing, that knowledge extends through the whole computer.
Uh-huh.
Or even the other devices.
Uh-huh.
So once you learn, you know, certain techniques, that applies all over the place. So if you flip this button to make this happen in one spot, that'll probably work the same way all over the place.
Uh-huh.
So I have noticed that makes it a little bit easier for people to understand how to learn it, because they learn one program and they start doing that same thing in other programs.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, at the moment, there are no viruses circulating in the wild for the Mac. There were one or two, but they didn't really gain any traction. There's tons of them for the PC. And what you run into is there's just less garbage that collects on a Mac, because most of it is targeted at the PC. Now, that may not always be the case, but at the moment, you know, Macs are reasonably trouble-free from viruses and malware and things like that. So over the life of the PC, when you don't have these things creeping in there and then having to clean them up, that can make things a little bit easier. The other thing I would say is, if you're considering buying a new Mac, I would absolutely look at, they have a service called 1-to-1. It's a training program, and I think you buy it with the new Mac. And then you can go in as many times as you want, and they'll teach you anything there is to know about Apple, and that also includes how to use Microsoft Word on the Mac.
Those are some great tips. Ruth, thank you. Joe Rhodes, our guest, he'll be with us till 12:30 today on the Ideas Network. Whether it's a desktop or a laptop computer or a fun gadget like an iPhone or an iPad, Apple products are all around us. A lot of people are loyal fans, while others are still waiting to be convinced. I'm kind of a loyal fan myself. Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along on the Ideas Net. My guest today is independent computer support specialist Joe Rhodes. He's with us till 12:30 to talk about the new software, hardware, and operating systems. And, of course, he's happy to answer your questions. So if you're having some problems with your Mac, or maybe just have a general question, I hope you'll join us. Call us at 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org. And then don't forget our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. And if you click like when you're there, you'll get regular updates on upcoming show topics. And a lot of people like that, too. Stay with us. We'll be back with Joe right after this look at the news. Thanks for listening in here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest Joe Rhodes, independent computer support specialist based in McIntosh, in Madison. Based in McIntosh. Well, I tell you what, he specializes in McIntosh, and he's based in Madison. How's that? Anyway, you have a question about your Mac, your iPhone or your iPad, I hope you'll give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@WPR, or go to our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We got an email from a Pat who has a MacBook Pro and 17-inch. Her husband has a regular MacBook. The MacBook's about 6 years old or more, and the cord to recharge does not seem to work. Got a new one with the power pack, of course. Still doesn't charge. However, my cord does work. Is the power pack on the cord? Is it the power pack on the cord that's doing the trick? I would assume so, but what else might the problem be?
Well, if they're all Intel-based Macs and they all use the MagSafe connector, which is basically the little power connector that's held on by magnets that just pops out if anything happens, Apple has changed that design slightly from one iteration to the next. The older ones, the power cord came straight off that little connector, and the newer ones, it's now at a 90-degree angle. I'm only speaking from a very limited experience here, but I've noticed that sometimes with the older laptops, the power connector that comes at an angle, for whatever reason, doesn't seat real well in the older style laptops, but it seats great in the newer ones.
Huh.
So I don't know if Apple changed the clearances there a little bit or what happened. You can try putting it, you know, because it's at a 90-degree angle, you can try flipping the thing upside down and see if it makes a little bit better connection there. I've had one or two that I've noticed where I had my newer power brick wouldn't work on an older laptop, but the reverse was not true. The older power adapter would work fine on the newer laptop and the older one. And I think it had to do with a clearance issue. The other thing is you might want to just take a look at that MagSafe connector on the laptop and make sure that there's no junk in there. Because it is magnetic, sometimes it can attract little bits and pieces that'll keep the connector from seating all the way in there.
Email from Dan. I just bought a second MacBook Pro with Lion and upgraded our year-old laptop with Lion also. Problem is that Apple Mail program with Lion appears unable to give me the classic view of emails as they were listed with Snow Leopard. I do not like the new view options with Lion. Can I return to the classic view?
As it turns out, you can. With macOS 10.7, Apple was really trying to kind of unify the experience between an iPad, an iPhone, and the Mac. And in some cases, I think they went just a little too far. Mail was one of them. I liked the classic view. It works really well, especially if you have a ton of folders. The good news is you can switch back if you go under the Mail menu, under Preferences, and there'll be a bunch of icons along the top, one which will be Viewing. And there is a checkbox there that says Use Classic Layout. If you click that, Mail will return to something that is far closer to what it looked like under 10.6 than what it looks like on an iPad. You can switch back and forth. Doesn't hurt it at all. But yeah, I'm a classic view guy myself.
Jane in Fitchburg, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Hi. I have an iBook. It's about 6 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having a problem now that it just keeps shutting down or going to sleep. And just now, I was opening it up to see what system I was running to mm-hmm. be sure I had that accurately. And as soon as the desktop page, showed, it shut right down.
Okay.
And I'm wondering if there's anything that I can do or if I should take it in to be repaired or if I should just be... You know, I'm saving up for a new computer. But...
Sure, sure. And you said this is an iBook, correct?
It's an iBook G4.
Okay. There's a couple of things that might cause this kind of problem, but with a machine, unfortunately, that's been around for that long, especially a laptop, because they get moved around more than a desktop does, sometimes the little soldering joints tend to go bad. So I'm not entirely sure if it's something simple or something more nefarious like that, but here's some things you could try. First off, I'm assuming that this happens while the machine is plugged into the wall, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you've got the little power connector in there and that little ring is lit up?
Yes.
Okay. You might try taking the battery out of it, like out of it entirely. Mm-hmm. And so you're only working with the AC power and see if that helps at all. If your battery has completely failed, it can actually cause problems even if you are connected to the wall outlet.
Okay.
The other thing you can try... And I can't remember exactly how to do this on that particular model off the top of my head. But if you do a Google search for it on another computer, obviously, but you should be able to get to this information pretty quick. You'll want to reset the power management unit. On the newer Macs, that involves taking the battery out, turning them off, and then pressing and holding the power button for about 10 seconds or something like that. I can't remember the exact sequence of events with the iBook, but if you go online, you should find information on that pretty quick.
I have been doing that.
You have been?
Yes, and sometimes, and then sometimes it will open up and sometimes, and stay on for a period of time, a considerable period, and other times it will
just not
open
work.
Up and shut right down.
Yeah, then I... You could try, again, then if that's not solving the problem and you've already tried that one, try removing the battery and see if it functions any better. Be careful because that's going to make the balance off a little bit, and so it's going to want to tip forward much easier. Okay. But see if that helps any. If that doesn't, I'm afraid there's probably something more wrong with it than we can diagnose over the radio. And I hate to say it, but if it's hardware related, I don't think it's going to be cost effective to fix. I just don't.
Okay.
There you
go. Good luck.
Good luck, Jane. Thank you for calling. Bob in Minocqua, we're on to you now. Hi, Bob.
Howdy. Hey, we've got a very good Mac store up here, but what I'm wondering about, I've got a Snow Leopard laptop, and I have not yet downloaded the new Lion system to it, even though the fellow at the store here and my neighbor and so on says, well, why not? You should do that. And I looked it up under the Mac site on my wonderful little Snow Leopard here. And there's a whole bunch of negative comments about switching over to the Lion system. And I'm wondering, why should I switch? I mean, what's the big advantage? I'm perfectly content with what I've got. And are there real problems with the Lion?
Well, here's the thing. Like any kind of computer upgrade, if what you have is working and nothing is getting under your skin or you're not missing out on anything, there is no reason to upgrade. If your laptop is, you know, piping along just the way you want it, all your applications are running, you got everything set, there's no reason that you have to change. Some things that might drive this, and this is not anything that's happening right now, but it will probably happen at some point in the future, is there might be some new piece of software that's only going to run on macOS 10.7, in which case you're going to go, well, you know, I really would like to use that piece of software, so maybe I do need to upgrade. Or Apple pushes out some incredibly fantastic new feature that you just can't live without, in which case upgrading is nice. So those are reasons that you might want to upgrade. As far as negative reviews go, most people, if in general on the internet, you know, if people like something, they don't bother to say anything about it because they're happy off using it. It's when they don't like something that they start really creating a lot of noise. So typically online, you will find more negative reviews than positive reviews. That's just kind of the nature of human beings.
Is there any reason to rush into this? I know it's been out for a while now, but
No.
I keep waiting?
Right now, we're at macOS 10.7.1. So it's you know, they haven't done a whole lot of bug fixes yet that they haven't really uncovered all that much. One of the features that might pique your interest with macOS 10.7.2, Apple is introducing iCloud, which is a online storage service that's going to be free. And the big feature there is if you have an iPhone or an iPad or even a couple of Macs, you can synchronize these things all over the internet, all wirelessly. So if you have, say, an iPhone and you put a calendar entry on your iPhone, that will synchronize through iCloud and show up on your Mac without you having to do anything. Or if you buy a new song on iTunes on your Mac, that will automatically download and show up on your iPhone or your iPod, you know, and anything that's got a wireless connection like that. So that's something that 10.7 has that you might go, hey, I'm willing to go through a little goofing around to be able to get that feature. But if you don't have another Mac and you don't have an iPhone or an iPad, then iCloud doesn't do anything for you, in which case, no, don't do it.
Well, I don't. I mean, this is my, I've only had this toy for a little over a year, and I've had great fun with it.
Yeah.
And it does everything, I guess, I want it to do, but then what don't I know about?
Yeah, it's, you know, iCloud is a big one that's coming up in the future. There are some tweaks here and there that they've made in 10.7. You know, I downloaded it the first day because I need to know about it. It's important to me for business-wise. So having used it for a while, I can tell you there are enhancements all through. You know, Apple is really good about this. With each release, they smooth out the rough edges here and there, and they look for places that were, you know, maybe wasting too much time twiddling little levers, and they kind of make that automatic or make it a one-click thing.
Sure.
So in things like that, I think they've improved. One of the things I actually really like about 10.7 is if you have a touchpad on a laptop or you can buy that external touchpad, they have lots of support for multi-touch gestures. The one I use the most, I can take two fingers and swipe from left to right, and it's like hitting the back button on my browser.
Hmm.
It's the best thing since sliced bread. I love it because I don't have to go up and I just take my fingers and swipe it across the pad and boom, I'm back to the page I was at before. So little tweaks like that that don't sound like much when you just talk about it on its own, but when you add up 100 of those, it actually does make for an improved experience. Sure. Does it make sense to go out and spend $30, spend how many hours downloading and then learning the new tricks? Maybe not.
Maybe not. Good luck, Bob. There you have it. Let's go to Nick in Green Bay. Hi, Nick. Thank you for calling.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I got to tell you, I'm a hardcore PC guy. So,
all right.
I mean, I've had Windows 3.1 all the way up to the current one, but...
Wow, you have been at this a while.
Yeah. So it's really hard to switch, but my laptop is pretty much dead. I mean, I had to solder the cord right into the power socket and stuff, but...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I need a new computer, new laptop.
Okay.
And I really fear this Mac, but everything you're saying seems pretty good. Can you give me some pro, like, say if you set the PC there and the Mac there, can you give me some pros and cons, you know?
How do you use the PC right now?
Yeah.
I'm a big gamer, surfing the internet.
Okay.
Just fun.
Well, let me put this out there right off the bat. One of the big cons for you, you have an enormous amount of knowledge built up around how to use Windows, how to diagnose it, how to do all this kind of stuff, and a lot of that is going to go away.
That's what scares me. We've got four computers at home, and every time the wife has problems, hey, honey, can you fix the computer?
You're the go-to guy. This is how I got started doing this, because I was that guy but on the Mac side of the fence. I mean, that's how I became a consultant, is because I was curious. So that's actually going to be a big setback for you. The other thing is, I suspect you have a lot of software. You probably had a lot of game titles and a lot of software that you've acquired, a software library that if you switch to Mac, some of those titles, they may give you a cross grade, but I bet a bunch of them you'd end up having to repurchase, and that would kind of hurt. So, you know, having said that, if the Mac has got some parts about it that are really kind of curious and you're like, you know, I really want to see what that's all about, but I don't know if I want to jump in with both feet.
Yeah, the virus thing was a big one.
Yeah, that's kind of, especially like the drive-by downloads. That's what I run into with most client PCs is they didn't do anything. They just went to the wrong web page, and now all of a sudden they have this little thing popping up asking them for $20.
Yeah.
One of the things you can do on a Mac that's kind of handy is you can actually run both. You can run Mac and you can run Windows.
Oh, awesome.
And you can run Windows in one of two ways. You can do it the Apple way, which is called Boot Camp, where you essentially reboot the Mac and it is then a full-fledged PC. No questions asked. Full thing. The other thing you can do, which I do, is I run Windows in a virtual machine, which allows me to run it at the same time.
Yep.
It's not as fast. But you and it's a little clunky here and there, but it lets you do both at the same time, which from, you know, for what I do a lot of testing, that is unbelievably helpful. And if I don't like the changes, I can just throw it away and go back to what it looked like an hour ago. And I can test software really easily.
Oh, that's awesome. How about price-wise?
Well, you have to buy a copy of Windows because it's not included with the Mac. So you do have that, and you have, you know, a little your time kind of figuring all this stuff out. It's not too hard. But you are paying a premium for the hardware as opposed to if you just went and bought a PC laptop.
Okay.
You know, the Mac laptops are more expensive. You're paying for not just the bits and bytes inside, but you're paying for their design and their high-quality materials and things like that, which, you know, over the life of the laptop, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But some people, they value, prioritize different things in different ways. So if you're just going to use it as a PC... You're buying some very expensive PC hardware, but if you're going to use it for both, it does give you the option of having your, you know, dipping your toe in both pools.
Okay, well, I'll have to do some investigating, and maybe I can get it for the wife so that way I don't have to fix the computer every day.
Sounds good.
We promise we won't tell her.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Oh, Betty in Milwaukee. Your turn. Hi, Betty.
Hi. I'm kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum from most of your callers. They all sound so sophisticated. I would love to get a computer, and
okay.
I'd love to be able to send and receive emails,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to be able to, when I hear a recipe on the television...
Want to go look it up?
Well, they say, and the recipe is at...
Yeah.
And I think, darn it all, anyway, we don't all live in a computer world. I'm getting left out. How do I get in reasonably? I'm saving up to get a tooth fixed.
Sure.
But I think a computer is the next on the list. and people are very happy with Apples.
Of the two, I think getting your teeth fixed is a great idea. Well, I would, in someone in your position, this is a very similar situation to what my parents were in several years ago. My dad kept seeing things on television that he wanted to look up, and they didn't have a computer. And he kept seeing these things. So now my mom has a laptop and my dad has a desktop. And it's one of those things that they never thought they needed it. And now they spend hours on it because they're retired and they have the time to do it and they just love it.
Yep, that's where I'm at.
Again, I'm a little biased, but I do believe Apple would be an easier thing for you to learn because it tends to be more consistent. Keep in mind, this is my opinion, and everyone will have a different opinion, but I think it's more consistent. So once you learn the basic concepts of it, it carries across. And the other thing is, as a brand new computer user, Apple is going to hold your hand a little bit more in getting that computer set up.
Sure.
And
you can
buy that training.
I need something that works.
Right. And here's the thing. All of Apple's computers, doesn't matter which one you buy, none of them would be a bad choice.
Mm-hmm.
So really, in your situation, the question is, and this is the question that faces most computer users, do you want to get a laptop or a desktop?
Oh, laptop.
In which case, Apple has, they have two families of laptops. They have the really, really small MacBook Air, and then they have the little bit larger MacBook Pros. And the larger ones basically have a bigger screen that's easier to read, but the smaller ones are really, really light. But the nice part is you can go into an Apple store if you're anywhere in the Madison, Milwaukee. I think there's some in the Fox Valley. They have Apple stores all over the place. You can go in there and you can actually put your hands on them. You can see them. You can touch them, pick them up, see which one is something that's comfortable that you would be able to pick up and take with you if you wanted to do that. And then take a look at the screens and see, okay, if I were to open up a document and start reading the text, which one is easiest for me to be able to read?
Right.
And that's also the place where, and again, as a new user, I would really suggest that Apple one-to-one training, because then as you're learning, you know, how do I make a folder and put files in it? How do I clean up my email? How do I attach a picture to an email? They can teach you all of those things, just you and an Apple expert on a machine. And if you have a laptop, you can bring in your machine. Before you know it, you'll be emailing your kids pictures and forwarding jokes and all kinds of stuff, because
sure.
This is what happened to my mom.
Am I looking at thousands of dollars plus another $1,000 a year to keep it up and running?
No. You're probably looking for a entry-level Mac laptop will be about $1,000 to $1,200, depending upon how fancy. Like, if you get the biggest one they have, that can be $2,800, but you probably don't need that.
No, I definitely don't. And that's more than my monthly income.
Right? And as an ongoing expense, no, they don't have a lot of ongoing expense. Like I said, this one-to-one training, I think you buy it, I think it's $100 at the time when you buy your Mac, and then that's good for a year.
Uh-huh.
And I think you can go once a week if you really wanted to. So you could get 52 training sessions for, I think it's $100.
Wow.
They will offer to sell you a AppleCare extended warranty, which is basically, think about it like insurance. Apple has a one-year warranty on their products. The extended warranty basically says if you happen to get a lemon, in 3 years then you have warranty. Apple is banking on the fact that they will make money on that, which is why they want to sell it to you. You know, I don't tend to buy them, but then I'm also very happy with taking mine apart and changing bits if I need to change them. You might not be comfortable with that, in which case that extended warranty may or may not be valuable. But keep in mind that they will offer to sell that to you quite emphatically.
And then there will be the monthly cost of the whatever service.
Yes. Thank you. I keep forgetting about this.
Yeah, because I don't have cable because I figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In the year, and I think, well, it's not worth $400 to me.
Right.
I have public TV.
A great resource. You will need to be able to get on the internet. You need to have a service, just like to get to dial a telephone. You can buy the telephone, but without service, you can't actually call anyone. And cable service is one that's very fast, but tends to be a little expensive. You can get internet service through your telephone company fairly inexpensively. I think the package that I have with my parents is about $15 or $18 a month. So there is a monthly cost with having that service that's separate from whatever kind of computer you have.
Sure. Well, thank you so much for spending the time with me at a very low-level question. But
well,
there is no low-level question.
Well, it's like dropping off the end of the earth. Well, I sent a message out to the whole choir. How come you came to choir rehearsal when it was canceled? Well,
we emailed it.
There you go, Betty. Good luck.
Bye.
Let us know. Shoot me a note. Once you get your computer, shoot me a note on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, man. Quick one here. Gretchen, her download folder is packed with everything she's ever downloaded.
Yep.
Can she empty the trash and the contents? Before I do that, I want to make sure that it's also saved wherever else I've saved it as a copy. I'm afraid to delete the folder's contents and then find out that I removed the originals.
Well, typically what you do is Apple, you know, they used to just download things to your desktop, which I kind of liked more because then I could see it and I knew I had to deal with it. And then when I was done with it, I could either file it or throw it away. Now they hide all that mess in the downloads folder where we don't see it, but all of a sudden our downloads folder gets huge. Yes, you can take stuff in there and you can throw it in the trash can if you need to. If you have already moved that or copied it somewhere else, then it's either not going to be in that folder or you have a copy somewhere else, in which case you can still delete that stuff in the downloads folder.
Yeah.
And honestly, if it's already in the downloads folder and you do accidentally delete it, you could probably go to the place where you downloaded it from in the first place and download it again.
Yeah.
If you remember. I mean, if it's like most download folders I see, there's stuff in there from, you know, back to the 20s, and all of a sudden you've got, where did all of this stuff come from?
How did I get all this stuff?
Or you have 18 copies of the same thing because you didn't know where it was going, and you kept hitting the link, and you're like, where is it?
I've had that.
Yeah.
I've had half a dozen or seven of the same thing. And why?
Before it dawns on you, like, oh, wait, they stuck all this stuff over in the corner now. I change that back. I go into Safari for myself. I go under Safari Preferences, and I move the downloads location to go back onto my desktop because it just works better with my workflow. I never got the hang of that downloads folder. So you can also do that if you don't want this stuff littering up a hidden folder that you have to go occasionally clean out.
Joe, always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Great to be here.
Joe Rhodes, our guest today, Mac computer expert. His website, joerhodes.com. I think we have a link to it at my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Thanks for listening.